Roland now drew his own gun, laid it in the hollow of his right shoulder, and pushed the door open. He went through in a slight crouch, ready to dive either way or jump backward if the situation demanded it. The situation did not. Had Eddie been first, he might have believed, if only momentarily, that he was being attacked by flying wolves, sort of like the flying monkeys in The Wizard of Oz. Roland, however, was not overburdened with imagination, and even though a good many of the overhead fluorescent light strips in this huge, barn-like space had gone out, he wasted no time or adrenaline in mistaking the suspended objects for anything but what they actually were. Broken robot raiders awaiting repair. "Come on in," he said, and his words came echoing back to him. Somewhere high in the shadows came a flutter of wings, swallows or perhaps barn rusties that had found their way in from outside. "I think all's well." They came and stood looking up with silent awe. Only Jake's four-footed friend was unimpressed. Oi was taking advantage of the break to groom himself, first the left side and then the right. At last, Susanna, still sitting on the rolling steel table, said, "Tell you what, I've seen a lot, but I haven't ever seen anything quite like this." Neither had the others. The huge room was thick with wolves that seemed suspended in flight. Some wore their green Dr. Doom hoods and capes. Others hung naked, save for their steel suits. Some were headless, some armless, and a few were missing either one leg or the other. Their gray metal faces seemed to snarl or grin depending on how the light hit them. Lying on the floor was a litter of green capes and discarded green gauntlets, and about 40 yards away, the room itself had to stretch at least 200 yards from end to end, was a single gray horse lying on its back, with its legs sticking stiffly up into the air. Its head was gone,